Gearing up for the big game? We are too. Join us on the Moth Podcast for a special episode dedicated to hilarious true stories about football, family, and growing up.
I loved Franco Harris so much that in 1975, I invited him to my bar mitzvah. And he was so cool that he actually sent me a telegram.
Each week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, and above all, true. Find the Moth Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, but I looked at the calendar and saw, okay, February 3rd, 60 degrees. It didn't register, but that's what we're looking at today. Although it is a cloudy start to the week, it will be milder, which I think will be a break for many. Larry Richard with our political analyst in-house, in studio, Lenny McAllister. Lenny, good morning.
Good morning, Larry. And yes.
Congratulations are in order for you.
My daughter and her... And her husband had their first child over the weekend, a little unexpectedly, but she came early. Our granddaughter came early, but she is healthy, and mom's healthy, and everybody's resting up. I think everybody's going to come home from the hospital today, and we've got lots of pictures.
Congratulations. How does that feel?
You know, looking at the picture, I think it's a little obviously surreal for my wife and me, but it's interesting to talk my daughter through the process of how surreal it is for her, because she is, over the course of 3 years, I mean, these two have been together forever, but it's different being somebody's wife than being somebody's fiance, being somebody's girlfriend. Then it's different to be a pregnant woman than it is to just be somebody's wife. And then it's different to see your child in front of you versus having your child kicking you or keeping you up in the middle of the night. And talking to my daughter and just watching her process that, I'm just, the joy that I got was being able to say, this is normal. This is normal. It's a, even joy can bring you shock. So just understand what it is. You've only been staring at her face to face for 12 hours, 14 hours, 20 hours. It's okay. I mean, she went from baby's due in March to procedure to baby. It's a lot, especially for a first time mom.
And your first time grandfather.
Yes.
That is a game changer, my friend. It is one of the few things that in this stage of your life is better than you think it'll be.
Except for your wallet.
Forget about that. Because your wife, there's no way she could say no down the road. However, it does help teach you to live in the moment again.
Yes.
As you will see when you are with her, nothing else will matter in that moment. So, chosen name?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Amari.
All right. Well, congrats.
Thank you, kind sir.
No shortage of subjects over the weekend alone to talk about when it comes to unraveling President Donald Trump's tariff talk, supposed to take effect overnight tonight to tomorrow for Canada, Mexico, and China. And then Justin Trudeau kind of shot back yesterday, hey, you know, we may figure in for 1% of an immigration issue here, maybe 1% of the fentanyl issue, which Donald Trump had pointed out as to some the main reasons behind this. And then Donald Trump fired back at him saying, Canada should become our cherished 51st state, which really hacked off the Canadians. As you can imagine, enough that through all that, they were booing the national anthem at a hockey game in Canada over the
weekend. And at an NBA game as well.
NBA game. So what is the end result financially of the tariffs? Is this just a leverage play since Donald Trump says he'll talk to Trudeau and Mexican president today?
Well, it's not in effect yet, Larry. So there is the possibility that this ends up being a very big PR stick to walk around with and then never use, because there is the possibility of being able to say, we came to an agreement, Canada and Mexico acquiesced to what we wanted, which ironically the Canadians and their leadership have said, okay, America, we don't know exactly what you want, especially when you consider the aforementioned percentages you just brought up. There's still time for that. The challenge with this is, by even putting this into motion and saying the type of rhetoric that he's saying, there is an international consequence. You're emboldening, you're making China more emboldened, for example, to look at Taiwan and say, we're going to enforce more of our policies. We may even come over to that island. You look at Russia and Ukraine, and one of the big arguments from Putin has always been, Ukraine has always been part of Russia. Look at the history. And he's gone back 500 years to try to make that case. When you keep talking from an imperialistic point of view, remember we had news about Panama, we keep hearing about Greenland, and now the quote-unquote joke-unjoke in regards to Canada. You're talking about bad actors elsewhere being emboldened, knowing that there's a president of the United States that might turn a blind eye to it. That upsets the global order apple cart in a way that's not good for the global economy, and it's not good for global stability.
Short term, president said, it will be painful.
Of course it will. I mean, the American people will pay more for goods and services that come across the Canadian border that they don't even realize. And vice versa, the goods and services that we sell to Canada are already going to be struck with a retaliatory tariff. They're already pulling American goods off the shelf in Canada. Everything from butter and yogurt to wine and spirits and things in between. This is going to have an effect. And that's the reason why the Wall Street Journal wrote an op-ed and said, this is the dumbest trade war ever. That was their headline.
Today.
Yes.
I saw that. So mine's far greater than my own long term. What will the effect be, do you suppose?
I think initially it depends on how the conversation plays out today. If these tariffs don't go into effect, there will be people that will be relieved that prices didn't go up. From long-term perspective, either way, whether it goes in or not, I think that this is enough to start disrupting alliances that we had economically. If people forget, and I go back to 2016 a lot, Donald Trump did not want to join the Trans-Pacific Partnership, a partnership that would have involved everybody other than China for trade in the Pacific Rim. He said it was a bad idea. Actually, President Obama thought it was a good idea. I agreed with President Obama at the time in 2016. As a result of not getting involved in a TPP, those countries worked out a deal with China. If you continue to do those type of deals where you're creating breaches in alliances that have been around for decades, those allies are going to find other trade partners, and you may not like who they're trading with. And the economic alliances eventually lead to military alliances, sharing of other type of resources, including research. And that has a cascading effect that people have not thought about. And now that point of pain is going to be more than economic if this continues going down the wrong path.
We're with Lenny McAllister on the Big K Morning Show. We got a lot to cover this morning. I want to also ask you about continued efforts with immigration and deportation. 93% of the illegal crossings have apparently stopped. But what does it mean for everybody else in between? We'll talk about it. Session with Lenny McAllister in studio every Monday on our 8 o'clock hour. And just a footnote to our conversation about tariffs and Donald Trump calling Canada our 51st state if they don't, you know, fall in line. Canada's already fighting back, taking American products, to your point, off the shelves today, in this tariff would kick in overnight.
Yes. And when you think about the rhetoric, and this is, you know, there's a reason why they call the White House the biggest bully pulpit in the world. When the rhetoric is that we subsidize, and it's very key that people remember that when he uses the word subsidize, it's as if it's a ward. It's you subsidize a lesser country to give them foreign aid, military aid, and the like. You subsidize a program to make sure that a nonprofit can continue to operate. What he's referring to is a trade deficit, not subsidizing an ally of ours that's been an ally for decades upon decades. And when you use that type of language, you insult the people of that country. And then to subsequently say, you know, without this subsidy, you all can't survive as a country. You probably should just become our 51st state. That's a different tact. And if you look at the population of Canada, they're slightly more than California. You know, putting this into the ethos is going to create a line of thinking where some people will say, just like they've been saying with Greenland, you know, I get it, and that's not necessarily what I voted for Donald Trump for, but he's not crazy in thinking that Canada could be a resource for us. Well, yeah, I guarantee you that if we ended up adopting Canada and the UK, it would be great to have a state across the other side of the Atlantic Ocean too, but I don't think that's viable. And we, as quote-unquote the shining city on the hill, we're supposed to be helping to protect national sovereignty and the freedom and the free will of a people, regardless of where they live, because we're the example of that in the United States of America. And both of those ideas have been receding at an accelerated pace over the last 14 days, which is astonishing to think about.
All right, that said, wanted to mention the immigration issue. I think a lot of Americans, both Republican Democrats, thought that the borders were too porous and that something needed to be done one way or another. The Democrats said the stalled legislation, which Donald Trump told the Republicans not to vote for because he was going to use that as a platform for the campaign, it worked, and now we're seeing this actually happen. It's uncomfortable and really, for a lot of people, tragic in some cases. But I think everyone would agree we wanted to remove criminals who came here illegally, number one. But there will be some collateral damage, no doubt.
No, there's nothing wrong with removing criminals. That should have always happened. And the presidential administrations, going back to Biden, Trump, Obama, and back throughout our recent history, that did not do that. They failed at what they should have been doing as commander-in-chief and keeping us safe. That said, if you look at the contrast between the legislation in 2024, which came about 3 years too late, and that is clearly at the feet of Biden-Harris, this should have happened in 2021, 2022, as soon as COVID was receding. But if you look at the legislation, there was going to be an increase in the courts. There was going to be an increase in enforcement. There was going to be more mechanisms to put legal immigration back into the fold. Instead of that, we have ICE raids and we have Guantanamo Bay, Gitmo, now being used, or at least proposed at the very least, as a place to house illegal immigrants. Now, one of the things that was said to be a scare tactic this time last year was Donald Trump will create concentration camps and put illegals in there, or people suspected of being illegals. If you're going to use a military base to do that, what are we talking about now? At some point in time, and I know this is very preachy on a Monday morning, and I apologize, but at some point in time, we have to ask ourselves, even if the goals are correct of what he's talking about in many of these instances, a better economy, more manufacturing back in America and the like, the tactics matter as well. The tactics talk to our character, and our character it's reflected during crisis, not calm. In fact, if we have the proper character, our character will bring about calm during a crisis. Let's think about what our national character is saying and screaming over the last 14 days. We're going to have leaders that really look at the tactics that are being used and find ways to put this on a proper path to meet the goals that we want without taking the tactics that we've been seeing.
USAID staffers told stay out of the Washington headquarters. Elon Musk, and the reason the first two were told not to come back, as I understand it, was because they were asked to allow to see sensitive material, and the people asking didn't have the proper accreditation to view it, and so they just told him, you're out. All of these areas where we're seeing shutdowns, it's supposed to have a pause on grants and loans that actually has happened,
yes,
as I understand. In many cases, it's not on pause. A federal judge is supposed to talk about it. They were told, no matter what the judge says, ignore it. So this is happening across the board in the federal government.
The funding freeze the scare of last week should really wake all Americans up. That and what we heard about last week, whereas where you've learned that Elon Musk and a small group of the individuals that are working with him on Doge now have access to highly sensitive information. And it's ironic. I mentioned this. I'm going down south to give a lecture on the Tea Party tomorrow. And one of the things that the Tea Party was so furious about was the fact that there were so many unelected bureaucrats that dictated policy. That was one of the things they pushed back against with both President Bush and President Obama. What are we seeing now? Many of those same people now support President Trump as he's bringing in an unelected bureaucrat to dictate high levels of policy and have access to high levels of sensitive information. It is a complete 180 that should frighten people into action. Not necessarily just frighten them into fear and pausing and freezing, but frighten them into action and saying, this is not the America that we fought wars for, that we fought, you know, domestically over. This is not what we voted for, even in 2024.
Well, shouldn't Elon Musk or anybody permitted to see sensitive documents have the proper clearances, not just you can do anything you want, carte blanche?
They absolutely should, Larry, but we're also talking about people that are going through Senate confirmations that didn't go through a lot of those interviews and clearances either. So, you know, we're seeing a consistency of lack of transparency. We're still talking about a president that got elected twice and ran for the presidency a third time and didn't win, that broke 50, 60 year protocol in regards to showing tax returns and everything else. The transparency meter has gone down over the years, not up. And this is just another step in that direction. At some point in time, the rubber hits the road in regards to what that lack of transparency ends up meaning for us.
Well, he was successful. He never did show his tax returns.
He hasn't yet.
Only one who has it. He won't. USAID staffers tracked more than 600 employees reported locked out of their computers overnight. Marty Griffin, Get Marty, Larry Richard with our in-studio, and you're not a political analyst with everything you do. You're much more diverse. I always say Lenny McAllister wears many hats, including now grandfather.
Indeed.
Over the weekend.
So. And proudly so.
Yeah, as you should be. That's one of God's greatest gifts. I can tell you that firsthand, because it's a whole different vibe. As much as you love your kids, there's a different level when it comes to the grandkids.
Well, my grandchild will probably be different than your grandkids in the sense that she's not going to be able to walk around and hear granddad's voice everywhere. Your grandchildren probably think you have like the voice of God, because every time they turn around, they're hearing you on the radio or seeing you on TV, and they're like, holy cow, that's my granddad.
Never thought of it that way.
It puts you at a different level. You're already a grandfather, so they already kind of put you on a pedestal a little bit. But when you're Larry Richard, I have to imagine that it has its advantages with your granddaughters.
That said, not necessarily. Especially when you're a reformed weatherman from TV. Of course, they don't know that part of my history. Hopefully, the videos don't resurface.
Yeah, look, they're not going to be on YouTube for a couple of more years. They're good.
What a month to kick off this new year. Just the total news cycle. And I'm not just talking about politics. Obviously, that's dominated a lot of the conversation, and rightfully so, because of the transition and where we are in just a couple of weeks. But this mid-air plane collision and devastation that happened last Wednesday night, and then Friday night in Philadelphia with this medevac jet that crashed in the city. And then, you know, what happened in California with the fires and taking out entire neighborhoods. I mean, there's been no shortage of major news already, and we're 1 month in.
The thing that I often tell people on my show, Larry, is it's very easy to overlook the trauma that Americans have been through over the last 25 years. We have been bombarded with a lot of trauma. I mean, everything from 9/11 to the uprisings and the riots of 2020, to a pandemic, to turbulent elections, to groundbreaking elections. We've gone from hope and change in 2008 to I will be your retribution in 2024. We have seen disruptions to the economic scale. We've had literally a terrorist group beheading Americans on live streaming video. There's been a lot that's happened. And this is a very critical time for us individually. I won't even go to the leadership. Individually, these are times where we do have to take a breath because there's been so many things that have happened in a very condensed period of time historically, let alone, like to your point, over the first month. And here we sit in Black History Month with people talking about DEI this and DEI that, attacking, you know, a female helicopter pilot. See, she was a DEI hire. That's why they scrubbed her social media. All of the cultural wars that are going on, coupled with real life tragedies, makes this an extremely traumatic time.
What about Black History Month and other events that the federal government now wants to de-emphasize?
I think it's troubling at best. I asked the question facetiously on Sunday, are we going to now stop celebrating Mother's Day and Father's Day too? Are we not going to celebrate President's Day because it's a co-equal branch of government? We don't have a Congressman Day and we don't have a Supreme Court Justice Day. Why are we celebrating President's Day? So this goes down a very selective path that says all the wrong things when we're trying to eliminate certain identities and keeping others. Because in essence, what it ends up saying is, we want you to be homogenous when it comes to some things, but the homogeny needs to look like a certain norm, which is not what America looks like in 2025. And it only creates the divisiveness that they claim they're trying to bridge when you're doing that. Now, there's a better way of talking about diversity, equity, and inclusion. There's a better way of doing this than what the left has done over the last 5 to 10 years, but certainly what the rights approach has been over the last 5 to 10 years as well.
What do you recommend? This is all getting washed away, and I'm sure there are some people celebrating that, and there are others who are terrified.
I think we need to go back to embracing it, but in a more sensible way. The demonization of white people is not only flawed, it's incorrect, it's hateful, and it's spiteful when it comes from certain sections of America. That's just all there is to it. To say that black people went through trauma as a result of racism and then try to attach to that and all white people are systemically racist is a misnomer. It's a false premise for the argument. And it leads to the resentment that you see. People forget that the reason why you had Obama voters go and become Trump voters is because those Americans were left on the periphery of society for years. They were looked down upon for years. They were given labels that they did not earn for years. They have a right to feel hurt and abandoned and overlooked and undervalued. But the way you deal with that is not retribution. The way you deal with that is having a greater understanding of history, how poor people, regardless of their ethnic backgrounds, oftentimes in communities came together regardless of race or color because they were all poor. Talking about that in our history, having a better understanding of how we got here, because American history and humanity in general is complex. There's not just one narrative. There's multiple narratives going on all at once. We don't do a good enough job teaching that or embracing that in a way that can be gracious and loving and therefore instructive to move forward in an America that has 334 million people in it.
We're with Lenny McAllister. Some final thoughts coming up next. We get into our second month of the new year. No shortage of news topics. Larry Richard with Lenny McAllister and some final thoughts. We will expect to get reaction from the tariffs for Canada, Mexico, and China, and that'll be big topic this week because that will affect, to your point, immigration affects everyone to some degree. However, as individuals, really a small percentage of the population. That said, financially, this will affect everybody in some way, shape, or form. Trump saying short-term pain, long-term gain. We'll see where it goes. What else is on your radar?
Well, what I think would be, I want to, before we move away from that point, I think it's interesting to bring this up as well. One of the rationales that's being given in regards to why we're having these tariffs is the rationale that we're trying to pull the manufacturing of American goods and services back to the United States, it would be very interesting. And I think it's a missed opportunity, but it could still come up from the administration. There should have been something that was announced that said, and in coordination with these tariffs, we're going to incent businesses that are currently established outside of the United States or new startups with a tax program or an investment program that will incent business owners to make these goods and services here in the United States so that we don't have to export them or count on other countries, particularly Canada and Mexico, to make them. If that were the case, and people can see, oh, they're putting a plan in place to make sure that that car part's going to be made in Indiana versus being made in Monterrey, Mexico. They're going to make sure that that good and service from Toronto is going to be made in Western Pennsylvania. People would get on board probably a little bit more with the tariffs, even if they saw the prices go up for a year. If that comes out and if there's a cogent plan, then you can kind of see how they're trying to pull things back to the United States. But we haven't seen that yet.
Why start with one of our best allies to the north and create this divisiveness that doesn't seem to be the place to start? China, maybe a lot of people can understand. Mexico, I don't know. But Canada?
I would say very cynically, and I will put that caveat on it cynically, bullies don't usually go looking for the biggest person in the lunchroom to go try to take their lunch money. They usually look for the kid that has the taped up glasses and the pocket protector that is easy to go get the lunch money from. They get it, they walk away. You go take on China immediately with 25% tariffs. You go take on Russia and say, we're going to put tariffs on you and you're going to end this war now. That would bring about a different rattling of the global order that could benefit everybody over time. But you go saber rattle with them and they're much more inclined to react in a way that will hurt Americans immediately versus an economy to the north that counts on us extremely. And same with the south. It's the same thing with Colombia as well. These are, generally speaking, from an economic standpoint, the kids in the lunchroom that have the taped up glasses that are just going to say, here, buff, take my $5, versus people that will stand up and say, make me give you my $5.
Lenny McAllister, Lenny, safe travels. Thank you for being here. And again, congratulations on a first grandchild.
Thank you, child of God. You have a wonderful week as well. God bless you all.